Montana talks here. Live and local. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Scott Jennings does it once again on CNN. Man, I tell you what, yesterday in the, I think it was in the 8 o'clock hour of this show, we had John Jackson, the Joker from X, in the house, and we went to one of our commercial breaks, and that's when a brilliant idea, I think it's brilliant anyway, you can tell me if you think it's brilliant or not. We went to a commercial break, and, you know, we were talking about all sorts of stuff. We were talking about these leftists, even here in Montana, these left-wing college professors that are fleecing the American taxpayers millions of dollars on some stupid climate change in Africa grant. The Department of whether you think our federal government should be paying for that or not, why are we wasting Department of Defense dollars on some stupid climate change in Africa study? It's pathetic. We are spending more money just in the on the interest on our national debt right now than we are on national defense. So it's time to make some tough decisions. Cutting some stupid climate change research in Africa, Department of Defense spending, is not one of the tough decisions. That's one of the easiest decisions out there when it comes to wasteful spending at our federal government. But there's some liberal professor at MSU in Bozeman who is protesting on the MSU Bozeman campus because he doesn't know how he's going to be able to afford to live in Bozeman unless you, the American taxpayer, keeps paying for his stupid little climate change study in Africa type garbage. What a joke. We've got so much incredible research work being done on the MSU campus. That ain't one of them. That ain't one of them. Don't you worry. MSU is going to continue to get a lot of research money to do actual research. But when a stupid project like that gets cut, cry me a freaking river, man. Oh, you're worried that you might not be able to continue to afford living in Bozeman. Well, you know what? There's a lot of real Montanans out here who can't afford and haven't been able to afford to live in Bozeman. But people like you drove up the price to live in Bozeman. And then you drove out the real Montanans at the same time with your hopey, climatey, changey crap going against America. Anyway, so long story short, we were talking about that and more. And this Khalil guy, you know, the guy who hates America and hates the broader Western civilization, who's organizing these anti-Semitic, you know, lockdowns on these college campuses, and now, you know, Trump is working to deport his ass back to wherever he came from and take away his visa. So we were talking about the CBP One app, and that's when we came up with this idea. You know, now they're turning the CBP One app into a self-deportation app to make it easier for these illegals to deport their butts out of America. And so that's where we came up with, you know, for that left-wing professor in Bozeman, the MDT One app. We want to help him self-deport out of Montana. Make it easier for him. We're here to help. That's where we're here to help. We're here to help. But anyway, we got to talk about, we got to go back to this Khalil story because Scott Jennings just laid it down on CNN. That's why they kept cutting him off.
Here's a look at your Montana weather for Billings and Bozeman. A mix of clouds and sunshine develops today with highs ranging from the upper 60s in Billings to the mid-50s in the Bozeman area. For tonight, we can expect partly to mostly cloudy skies, low temperatures from the mid-30s to around 40. And then on Thursday, with mostly cloudy skies, some rain showers move in, especially into the Bozeman vicinity. That's a look at your Montana weather on Montana Talks. I'm meteorologist Paul Trombley.
Media Minute with Howard Kurtz.
The big story right now, yes, in addition to President Trump escalating tariffs on Canada before pulling them back, tanking the market once again, is the president's decision to restore military aid to Ukraine. This is huge. This came after a meeting with Marco Rubio and Ukrainian officials in the Middle East, that was judged by the Secretary of State to be successful. And so, boom, after that Oval Office shout fest, the president had cut off aid, now apparently convinced that they're also close to signing a mineral deal, the president restoring military aid and intelligence to the Ukrainians, without which they couldn't really sustain the war against the invading Russia. With your Media Minute, Howie Kurtz, Fox News.
If you miss 1 second of Montana Talks, don't worry. We've got all 4 hours of the show on the Montana Talks app, or you can get the podcast on Spotify as well. Here's else what you get on our Montana Talks app. We've got content contributors across the state and across the region, and I put at least 2 news stories a day on the Montana Talks website, commentary pieces as well, so check it out. All your headlines, all the audio, and much more with contributors across Montana on the Montana Talks app.
Montana Talks, where you get the mic. Call in now at 406-294-0970. Here's your host, Aaron Flint.
Yeah, so President Trump is doing exactly what he said he was going to do and exactly what we, the American people, want him to do and elected him to do. Remember, you know, over a year ago when these horrific anti-Semitic protests, and they were more than just protests, they were barring access to the entire campus. Jewish students were told to stay home. Jewish students were being threatened, harassed, assaulted, intimidated, and not just the Jewish students themselves, but Christians like us who stood up for our Jewish friends. We're also being threatened and harassed and intimidated. These people who cry fascist, fascist, when Donald Trump just wants you to be able to keep more of the money that you earned, are the ones who supported these fascist, anti-Semitic barricades and lockdowns and intimidation campaigns against Jews on college campuses in America. And one of those guys is this guy, Mahmoud Khalil. I'm sorry, I forgot. We're supposed to pander. If you have a microphone and you are part of a media outlet, you're supposed to pander to certain ethnic groups. So I should correct my pronunciation. Instead of saying Mahmoud Khalil, it's supposed to be Mahmoud Khalil. So sorry, I apologize that I wasn't politically correct there. I'll be more politically correct now. Mahmoud Khalil. This guy is here on a visa. He's not even a student at Columbia anymore. And yet, he's the one who is a big part of these groups that were launching these intimidation campaigns against Jewish students and barricading off the campus. This isn't just a peaceful protest. This is the same liberal media that when the BLM rioters were, you know, targeting law enforcement and burning down police precincts. Oh, they mostly peaceful protests. They're calling him a peaceful protester who, he's not a threat to America. His organization that he is a part of, and again, this guy is not a citizen of the United States of America. It's pathetic enough when you have citizens barricading college campuses and threatening and harassing and intimidating and assaulting Jewish students, but this guy isn't even an American citizen. He's here on a visa. He doesn't have a right to be here. He is privileged to be here. And now that's why we are privileged to see his ass sent back where he came from. This guy is part of an organization. I just want to stress this before I play the Scott Jennings audio here. This Mahmoud Khalil is part of an organization whose goal is what? Their goal is that their organization is dedicated to this, fighting for the total eradication of Western civilization. And yet, this is the guy that the Democrats are rallying behind. Our friend, conservative political consultant Jake Eaton, had a tweet with this Democrat Senator Chris Murphy, who's got this whole video standing up for Mahmoud Khalil. And Jake says, you know, imagine if Democrat senators had shown this much concern for Lake and Riley. Yeah, They didn't care about Lake and Riley, but Mahmoud Khalil, who is here on a visa, who is part of an organization whose goal is fighting for the total eradication of Western civilization, which is you and me and the entire United States of America, and not just the United States of America, but although Canada may not seem like it is part of the Western civilization under Trudeau or this Carney crook that they're trying to put in next, still technically they're part of Western civilization. So is Europe. This guy isn't just a threat to the United States of America. He's a threat to the entire Western civilization. But the Democrats are rallying to keep him here. Scott Jennings was trying to make that point, and CNN, they just kept interrupting him because they didn't even want him to make that point. He was saying why the federal government has the right under the law to deport this guy.
He's a resident alien. He can be deported under U.S. law for if the Secretary of State has any reasonable ground to believe he would have a potentially serious adverse foreign policy consequence. And you mentioned the student organization. The student organization put out...
Before you move on...
So there they go. They cut him off. And then the CNN host, the left-wing CNN host, says, well, come on. You can't say that they have any grounds to say that this guy is a threat to national security. They're trying to say, oh, look, you're just trying to deport the guy because he is speaking out against something that you don't like. Well, look, we've had Canadians that lived in Montana that were sent back to Canada for much less, and these were good, successful business people. And our government told them, well, you know what? You're just not contributing to the U.S. economy, so nope, you don't get to stay here. You got to go back home to Canada. They've sent Canadians back to Canada for less in previous administrations. But they don't want Donald Trump to be able to send this guy who's dedicated to the eradication of Western civilization back home. And that's where Scott Jennings then made this point on CNN.
Man, I've certainly watched the abomination that's gone on at Columbia and Barnard and other places. And I'll just tell you,
I'm not going to let you move on because this is.
I'll tell you why it's a threat to national security if you let me answer you.
Well, Scott.
Do you want me to answer you or not?
Okay.
His organization says we are dedicated fighting for the total eradication of Western civilization.
Okay.
He's not a citizen.
He doesn't.
Okay, but Scott, hey, when they talk about eradicating Western civilization, CNN, that also means you. That means you. Everybody in the inner cities of America, that also means you. Reservations. Indian country, that also means you. But then again, you already knew that because what do you think their open borders have been attempting to do? Eradicate you.
This is the Montana Economic Minute.
Perhaps we can't be blamed for our poor understanding of Social Security. From its inception in 1935, it's been described in terms that were consciously intended to mislead us. It was called insurance. The taxes collected to pay for it were called contributions. We didn't receive payments from the dole. They were entitlements that we earned, paid out from a trust fund. That spin no longer works. Most of us know that Social Security is a pay-as-you-go system. We're not getting paid what we put in the past. We're simply getting the tax dollars being collected from younger people and their employers today. And it does have aspects of a Ponzi scheme, where the earlier participants who are collecting now are getting a much higher return than current workers will receive. But Ponzi schemes go bust, and that is not Social Security's fate. Lower birth rates over time have effectively lowered the program's ability to fund the bigger returns that used to be funded by ever larger numbers of working-age taxpayers. That's no longer sustainable, but the program will go on. I'm Patrick Barkey.
Brought to you by the University of Montana Bureau of Business and Economic Research.
This is House Call for Health. A study finds 40% of kids have their own tablet by age 2 and use a screen for more than an hour a day. Dr. Judith Joseph is a board-certified psychiatrist and researcher, recently joining Fox and Friends to discuss this.
We recommend that under the age of 18 months, there should be no screen time. You should be playing with your child, stimulating their senses. And then between the ages of 2 to 5 years old, high-quality screen time. This is learning programs, music programs, and learn alongside them so they're getting that, you know, interpersonal connection with you.
Right.
But it's also, like, recommended that until a child has finished the 8th grade, So that's 13 years old.
Keep them off of socials. Keep them off of the digital technology because it's so habit-forming.
Dr. Joseph noting that her own 8-year-old daughter would become irritable when her tablet is taken away, and that parents should be an example to their kids and not always be on their phones. For more health news, go to foxnewshealth.com. House Call for Health. I'm Lisa Brady, Fox News.
Tax rules for independent contractors, otherwise known as gig workers. I'm Hillary Barsky with your Fox Business Tax Tip coming up.
Listen to the all-new Brett Baer podcast featuring Common Ground, in-depth talks with lawmakers from opposite sides of the aisle, along with all your Brett Baer favorites like his all-star panel and much more. Available now at foxnewspodcasts.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
If you're a gig worker, you must report earned income on tax returns. CPA and tax attorney Alan J. Strauss says you're subject to self-employment tax.
That is an extra 7.65% of your wages. If I work for an employer, I'm an employee, that Social Security tax is being paid half by the employer and half by myself. If I'm a gig worker, I am the person paying both halves of that Social Security tax.
So gig workers will be paying an additional 7.65% of their wages. Hillary Barsky, Fox News.
This is where Montana talks at with Lane Nordland.
A bearish report out yesterday from USDA on the wheat front, the March crop production and world egg supply and demand estimates report, which raised U.S. wheat ending stocks to 819 million bushels, up from 794 million in February. The report cut exports, though, to 835 million bushels. The average farm gate price also dropped to $5.50 a bushel. On the global front, wheat ending stocks also increased to 260 million metric tons, with world production now estimated at just over 797 million metric tons. Russia's production saw a slight bump to 81.6 million metric tons, while Ukraine's wheat production was raised to 23.4 million. Australia saw a significant production boost to 34.11 million metric tons, with exports increasing to 26 million. Meanwhile, Russian wheat exports were trimmed to 45 million metric tons. Ukraine's remained steady at 15.5 million. And yesterday, a Miles City Livestock Commission, over 700 head of cattle sold. Slaughter cows saw mostly steady to higher prices, priced anywhere from $110 to $149 a hundredweight. Slaughter bulls, $131 up to $181 a hundredweight. I'm Wayne Northland.
This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Oh, what a great point from Tim and Savage here. I just got the breaking news update on my smartphone here from Fox News. Inflation slows more than expected in February. So good news on the inflation front. Like, what have we been saying? If you want to get inflation under control, you've got to reduce the federal government spending. Federal government spending is what drove up the massive inflation. All of this federal government waste, fraud, and abuse is the reason the little guy has been getting hammered with the high cost of everything. And look at these big guys getting paid all this big money from the federal government that are complaining because their climate change grant is getting cut. The little guys have been getting hammered because of these wasteful spending programs. And now the big guys with their big paychecks that you and I have to pay for their climate change grants are whining and complaining. When you, the working class men and women of Montana, have been the ones that have had to pay for it. Not just in your tax dollars, not just in the jobs that have been lost because of these hopey, changey climate crap policies and the radical environmental movement that's killed mining, that's killed the timber industry and shipped jobs overseas and the timber industry north to Canada instead of here in Montana. Man. But anyway, Tim and Savage says this, with the news of inflation stabilizing, I predict the left will come out and try to explain how Biden-era policies are finally paying dividends. and will try to give the credit to Joe. Of course they will. Of course they will. Let's see. Tammy in Kalispell sent us a message as well here. Good morning, Aaron. To the academic in Bozeman who is worried about how he will live after losing his taxpayer funding for climate change in Africa, he could always do what the rest of us do. Get up every day and go to work. There are tons of jobs in Montana. Sure, they might be part-time in retail, but I'm sure he could learn how to apply himself and work hard. That's from Tammy in Kalispell. Yeah, isn't it amazing that you've got these full-time liberal professors? Are they really working full-time? I had one guy, very prominent member of our community, by the way, who's, he didn't want us to use his name because he's still affiliated with one of these college campuses here in Montana. He says you would be amazed. He's a very successful private sector guy who then, you know, generously gives his time to help our higher education institutions here in Montana. He sent us a message on the Montana Talks app. I think it was yesterday after this story came up. And he was saying, Aaron, you would be amazed. Your listeners would be dumbfounded if they knew how much time and money is wasted by some of these professors working on their research. Yeah, that's why they're not there until far after 8, and that's why they're gone long before 5 a lot of days. This is what he was saying. Because they're doing research. Right. Right. And these people make a lot more money than most of you and get a lot more vacation than most of you and get a lot more free benefits than most of you, and you all are paying for it. What's the real thing they're nervous about? Look, both are two major campuses here in Montana, Montana State University and the University of Montana. They both bring in a lot of money in research dollars, and most of this is good stuff. It's great research that's going to continue to be conducted, right? And the research dollars will continue to flow into MSU and to UM, not on this stupid climate change crap. Hopefully, because UM sure has a lot of wasteful dollars on that front. His name is Running, to use a Forrest Gump accent, Steven Running. Hopey, climate changey crap, wasting our taxpayer dollars. That's what's been funded at the University of Montana over the years to undermine our Montana economy. And by the way, every single one of these climate change whacktivists, they can afford a Tesla. They should all be driving Teslas. but of course, the whole point, what are they really concerned about with the research dollars? Here's what they're concerned about. In fact, I should reach out to Jeremy Carl. I don't know if Jeremy's listening right now or not. But I should reach out to Jeremy Carl because we do have an open slot here. Well, I mean, right now, we've just got open phones now and for part of the 8 o'clock hour as well. But I should see if Jeremy Carl wants to join us because I think he's the one who sent out a post on X a week or two ago about how these colleges and these universities, massive administrative fees they charge to administer these federal grants. The private sector doesn't charge that percentage of a fee. Even the nonprofit sector doesn't charge that percentage of a fee. But these colleges and universities have been getting away with it. Numbers were. So that's why I want to get Jeremy Carl back on the show here. He's a senior fellow with the Claremont Institute in Bozeman. And he's also, he lives in Bozeman, but he's with the senior fellow with the Claremont Institute, which is a national conservative think tank. But a couple of stories I want to talk with Jeremy about. One is illegal aliens in Bozeman and kind of do an update on that front. And then two, this whole, administrative fee issue. I think this is why the left is so ticked off. Why are you seeing these left-wing activists at the UM campus and at the MSU campus opposing what Doge is doing right now? And MSU, by the way, Montana State University, they were very smart to tell this guy that showed up at the protest at MSU, you shouldn't speak at that event. Now, they weren't telling him that he shouldn't speak because they were trying to control the guy. They were telling the guy he shouldn't speak because it was stupid of him to open his mouth. Because he just put a spotlight on the wasteful spending that that guy's been profiting off of. So, of course, MSU's like, dude, shut up, man. You got $3 million to study climate change in Africa for the Department of Defense. Do you really want the people of Montana to know how their money was wasted by you? But that's what this guy did. So this guy now says, it's going to be too expensive for me to stay in Bozeman if I lose my climate change grants. Well, there's a lot of people that are looking for a place to live in Bozeman right now. Looks like a spot may open up for them. And then speaking of illegal aliens in the Gallatin Valley in Bozeman, man, you know, when all these Tren de Aragua operatives get arrested and the other illegal aliens start getting deported, sounds like more housing will become available as well. I had to pull up a clip from Vice President J.D. Vance earlier this week that was shared by the Trump War Room.
One of the drivers of increased housing demand, we know, is that we've got a lot of people over the last 4 years who have come into the country illegally. And that's something we have to work on if we want to meaningfully reduce the cost of housing, too. Now, just think about this. If you allow 20 million people to compete with American citizens for the cost of homes, you are going to have a large and, frankly, completely preventable spike in the demand for housing. And that is what we, of course, have seen, because while we made it a little bit hard to build homes in this country over the last 4 years, we've also, unfortunately, made it way too easy for people to compete against American citizens for the precious homes that are in our country to begin with.
Yeah, so the more we deport these illegal aliens in Bozeman, the more these left-wing professors that want to waste our money start pushing the climate alarmist agenda self-deport themselves, how much more housing frees up for real Montanans to live in Bozeman, right? And by the way, the billboard is back up again. Make Bozeman, Montana again. I saw the Aspinwall billboard is back up. And then another important point on these research dollars and administrative fees.
Big topics, big ideas, big sky, Montana Talks.
All right, we got the phone lines open for you, 406-294-0970, or you can also message us on our Montana Talks app. Carol in Billings sent us a nice message. So back in the 6 o'clock hour of the show, you guys remember the iPod? Remember the iPod? We were wondering if our young producer, Caden, had ever even heard of an iPod. But he's like, oh, yeah, my mom had one of those. So he's aware of an iPod. He was not aware of the Sony Walkman, though, because when we started talking about iPods, I was playing some Irish music, talking about Butte, St. Patrick's Day coming up right around the corner. Rosie O'Donnell self-deported herself to Ireland. I know it. Another great service President Trump has delivered for we the people, as Stephen Miller shared on Hannity's show last night. But, yeah, so that's what got us talking about iPods, because I had Dropkick Murphys on my iPod back in Kuwait. You know when you rode on the buses and they had, like, the 1970s shag carpet curtains covering the windows as you drove from one base to another? Yeah, you guys know what I'm talking about, right? The fellow veterans out there. And so you'd throw your iPod on, you'd listen to some music, and, you know, same thing in Iraq. You're getting the gun trucks ready, you're cleaning your guns, you might throw in a little headphone and on your iPod, right? And then now you just, everybody's got their smartphone with everything they want on it, whatever. But Carol in Billings says, it was interesting hearing you talk about getting your Walkman for Christmas back in the 80s. It brought back one of my technology memories. Carol says, when I was 10, I somehow contracted encephalitis and was in a coma in a hospital isolation ward. I learned later that the doctors told my parents there was little hope that I would live. I remember waking up and seeing a little transistor radio that my parents had bought for me. No one knew I had one of those marvels. I was in and out of consciousness for several days after that, but finally rallied and gradually got better and was able to come home with that amazing radio, A Reason to Live. I loved when it got dark enough to pull in KOMA from Oklahoma City because they played rock and roll hits, not just the hokey country and western songs. Our only station aired. That's a great message there from Carol in Billings. You know, that's what's so amazing. I mean, that's one of the benefits right now, frankly, of all of this technology, apps and podcasts and all this and that. Talk radio is still incredibly strong. Radio is rocking and rolling. All these other media sources are freaking out because their client base, their advertising base, their support base has been, you know, hit with a shotgun blast and scattered in multiple different directions, right? There's just pellets everywhere. Talk radio has remained consistent. And then I would add local sports radio. You know, I think that's a big service of a lot of these small town radio stations in particular. But talk radio has been consistent, where you can get local information, local reaction. You hear what people here in Montana actually have to say about what's going on. And especially the more you just see the TV stations and the big newspapers just push the same narrative and the same talking points, COVID-19 garbage, Russia hoax, they pushed it all. And they're continuing down calling him or her and he or she, pushing this transgender agenda, and people just had enough with it. And so that's why these other media organizations are just, you know, really in trouble. But talk radio has been consistent. And here's the deal. You could have had where, you know, a small town back in the day, you've got, you know, a liberal guy running the show there, and well, he doesn't want that talk radio. You know, that might have worked even 10 years ago, 20 years ago. Now, people have way too many sources at their fingertips. If you don't deliver a product of value to them, they got plenty of easy ways to go get it and go. They don't even need a transistor radio. They don't even need a radio. I still love listening on the actual radio itself, but most of the time I'll use the Montana Talks app as I'm traveling around the state and listen to the programs that way. Because then if you're in and out of coverage, things like that, you still got, you know, the Montana talk radio content that you're looking for. Anyway, Chris in Manhattan sent us a message on the Montana Talks app. This came in yesterday towards the end of the entire show. It's a great message here from Chris. Elon Musk is doing a great job finding waste, fraud, and abuse. What really grabbles my is that Congress should have done that all along if they were doing their job. And Chris is exactly right. But I would add to what Chris in Manhattan is saying, because it's easy to just sit back and point our fingers at Congress. But look, anytime Congress or certain delegation in Congress attempted to cut spending or just to reduce spending increases, not even to just cut it, just to reduce the level of the increase, the media would pile on and the American people would start piling on. Oh, well, do we really have to cut that? Oh, do we really have to cut that? And so we can sit back and blame Congress for not eliminating this fraud, waste, and abuse over all these years. But we also have to look back to we the people to say, look, we the people, it's our job also. Not just Congress. We can't just say, well, we voted for them, they better do it. We the people have got to stay in the fight and in the game every step of the way. It's not just about winning an election and then hoping that change takes place. That's why I think it's actually fascinating to watch what's going on in America and even right here in Montana right now, because we the people are standing up and you're pushing back. When these TV stations push their latest Never Trumper message on their Facebook pages, man, the comments, the people are just tearing into them. And when there's news about, like today, one of the great news stories today is about how the Federal Department of Education, which hurts education, they don't help education, they hurt education, they hurt our local teachers, They tie our local schools and our local teachers. They bog them down with a bunch of bureaucratic BS, and then they live high on the hog back there in Washington, D.C., while we've got entry-level teachers that struggle to make ends meet, especially during the last 4 years in the inflation. They're now basically cutting the staff for the Federal Department of Education in half. And that is very good news, because that is money and resources that can come to our schools and our teachers on the ground here in Montana, instead of some bureaucrats back in Washington, D.C., that harm our schools and our teachers on the ground here in Montana. And frankly, we're $36 trillion in debt with a $2 trillion annual deficit that Donald Trump inherited from Joe Biden. Something must be done. Stephen Moore with the Unleash Prosperity Hotline here. Oh, yeah, I got to mention the research dollar thing here, too. Stephen Moore with the Unleash Prosperity Hotline has a great piece that just came out in his latest update here. Cutting government spending is pro-growth. What Trump is proposing is nothing compared to the biggest government downsizing in American history. That happened after World War II. Paul Samuelson predicted massive unemployment when 10 million soldiers came home due to massive dislocation. In 1944, government spending at all levels accounted for 55% of gross domestic product, then dropped 75% in real terms to 16% of GDP. And then look at the chart for 3 years later. There was very little increase in unemployment. Instead, the government downsizing was the start of the famous post-World War II economic boom with minimal unemployment. And that's where we are at right now. Our federal government has been spending money like we are in World War III. So what if we actually, what if Joe Biden had actually gotten us into World War III? That's what Donald Trump's trying to get us out of, by the way, and to prevent. If you're already spending money year after year after year like you're in a world war, what happens if you actually have to get into a war? And so that is what they're working to do right now, is this is a time of transition where we are spending way more money than we can afford. It's going to bankrupt this country. And if we really want to make America great again, we've got to boost the private sector and pare back the public sector. Okay, real quickly on the administrative fee issue at these university campuses. Jeremy Carl, I know he tweeted out the numbers. I'll get you the exact numbers. But if I remember right, some of these universities are charging the federal government 30%+ of the millions of dollars in these federal grants for administrative fees, on top of the millions they're getting to do the work, right? Well, why do private sector folks carrying out similar grants only take 10 to 15% administrative fees? Nonprofits too. Why do the universities take three times as much for administrative fees?
This episode is brought to you by Prime Video. In the small town of Holland, Michigan, nothing is ever what it seems. Behind the tulip festivals and pretty houses lay dark secrets that threaten to tear a marriage apart. Nicole Kidman stars in this darkly twisted thriller about a wife and mother whose quest to uncover her husband's secrets may get her more than she bargained for. Holland, streaming on Prime Video, March 27th.
Fox News commentary.
Gavin Newsom is not a moderate. He's a snake oil salesman. Do not be fooled. I'm Tommy Lahren. More next.
I'm Benjamin Hall, Fox News senior correspondent and New York Times best-selling author, and I'm searching for heroes. Every Monday, I'll speak with a few silent but noteworthy heroes, everyday people who illuminate stories of compassion and are true embodiments of heroism. Make sure you subscribe to my podcast, Searching for Heroes with Benjamin Hall, wherever you download podcasts. And please leave a rating and a review.
On his new Vanity podcast, Governor Newsom sat down with conservative influencer Charlie Kirk to discuss a wide variety of issues. One of the topics Kirk rightfully pressed him on was the integrity of women's sports. You know, the radical notion men shouldn't be in them. While many on the left and right were shocked by Newsom's response because he, unlike most in his party, was at least able to acknowledge the deep unfairness of it. But not so fast with the praise. Understand, Gavin Newsom is no doubt gearing up to run for president in 2028 and is no doubt trying to soften his radical image to appeal to moderates. Yes, that's politically savvy, but that doesn't make it genuine. Just look at his record on the issue. Look at how California handles biological men in women's sports. If Gavin acknowledges it is deeply unfair, why not do something about it as the governor? He is all talk and no action. He's a snake oil salesman. Don't say I didn't warn you. I'm Tommy Lahren, and you can watch my show, Tommy Lahren is Fearless, at Outkick.com.
Here's a look at your Montana weather for Billings and Bozeman. A mix of clouds and sunshine develops today with highs ranging from the upper 60s in Billings to the mid-50s in the Bozeman area. For tonight, we can expect partly to mostly cloudy skies, low temperatures from the mid-30s to around 40. And then on Thursday, with mostly cloudy skies, some rain showers move in, especially into the Bozeman vicinity. That's a look at your Montana weather on Montana Talks. I'm meteorologist Paul Trombley.
How serious is youth vaping? Irreversible lung damage serious? 1 in 10 kids vape serious? Which warrants a serious conversation from a serious parental figure like yourself. Not the seriously know-it-all sports dad or the seriously smart podcaster. It requires a serious conversation that is best had by you. No, seriously, the best person to talk to your child about vaping is you. To start the conversation, visit talkaboutvaping.com.
Head to your local Home Depot today and get your Harvest Right freeze dryer or purchase online at homedepot.com.
This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Friend.
Oh, yeah, and one more thing. When it comes to universities and research dollars, you know who is the best at delivering funding to universities for research dollars? And I'm talking about real research, not this garbage, this, transgender mice crap that Biden and Tester were funding. But you know who is the best at delivering research dollars to universities here in Montana, especially MSU in Bozeman and the University of Montana? Former Senator Conrad Burns, and through his seat on the Appropriations Committee. Oh, but these folks in the liberal media and these liberal professors on these campuses, research money. Oh, they sure weren't freaking out when the left-wing media was attacking then-Senator Conrad Burns with fake news headline after fake news headline after fake news headline. But now they're, research money. When mostly what they're concerned about is they want to continue to be able to charge these massive administrative fees. That's the real story here that's actually really interesting. That's not even really being covered by the Montana media at all. I think there was one of these liberal, websites that did a story, and they kind of touched on it, but not really. So anyway, let's see. Man, so much to talk about here this morning. I did shoot Jeremy Carl a note to see if he wants to join us, maybe coming up here in the 8 o'clock hour. One thing we do have on the schedule for the 8 o'clock hour is judicial reform. Here we are. It's the transmittal break for the Montana legislature, and one piece of judicial reform has now been signed into law by Montana Governor Greg Gianforte. House Bill 39. Here's the headline from a press release from Governor Greg Gianforte. Governor Gianforte protects free speech in judicial elections. Governor Greg Gianforte recently signed House Bill 39 into law. That's a judicial reform bill that allows political parties to donate directly to judicial candidates. The governor said, quote, "As Americans, we cherish our freedoms of speech and association. Political donations are an expression of these rights, and restricting them is nothing more than an assault on the First Amendment. In our republic, it's not the role of government to decide whose voice is heard, House Bill 39 upholds the Constitution, empowers voters, and helps preserve the very fabric of our election system. The bill, sponsored by Representative Tom Millett out of Marion, enhances the free speech rights of Montanans by allowing political parties to contribute to judicial candidates running for office. See, right now, the Democrats already have their partisan elections. They just have Planned Parenthood and out-of-state Democrat Party mega donors funding all of their judicial candidates. But anyway, that bill is one of the few that has already been signed into law here at the halfway point of the legislature. That representative, Tom Millett, is going to join us in about 1 hour. Hey, springtime, it feels like it's already here some of these days, doesn't it? It's a great time to do some home improvements and do some upgrades into your house. You know, you may not want to buy right now with the interest rates being what they are, so why not invest in what you got? Your home improvement company, YHIC, they will transform your space with up to 30% off on a bathroom remodel. Imagine turning your bathroom into a spa-like retreat. Well, you can do that with financing you can handle. Zero down, zero interest, and zero payments for 12 months. That's 2026. Call 406-948-2836 today to schedule your free in-home consultation. A limited time offer you don't want to miss. Let me repeat that. Get up to 30% off a bathroom remodel. Call 406-948-2836 right now. You're going to love the difference with your home improvement company. Go to YHIC.com to find out how.
This is the Montana Economic Minute.
Perhaps we can't be blamed for our poor understanding of Social Security. From its inception in 1935, it's been described in terms that were consciously intended to mislead us. It was called insurance. The taxes collected to pay for it were called contributions. We didn't receive payments from the dole. They were entitlements that we earned, paid out from a trust fund. That spin no longer works. Most of us know that Social Security is a pay-as-you-go system. We're not getting paid what we put in the past. We're simply getting the tax dollars being collected from younger people and their employers today. And it does have aspects of a Ponzi scheme, where the earlier participants who are collecting now are getting a much higher return than current workers will receive. But Ponzi schemes go bust, and that is not Social Security's fate. Lower birth rates over time have effectively lowered the program's ability to fund the bigger returns that used to be funded by ever larger numbers of working-age tax. That's no longer sustainable, but the program will go on. I'm Patrick Barkey.
Brought to you by the University of Montana Bureau of Business and Economic Research.
KBU